BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
Walking on Jupiter. A true story about surviving suicide and being mental. A podcast by Thomas Warrington. Read by Stephen Graham. Episode 5. The Jupiter Ward was home to many great characters. Generally, well, everyone kept out of each other's way, even though people spent most of the time in the communal areas. They'd just get on with the days, a welcoming bunch of people who were exactly what you'd expect in a mental home, really. It was an old man who loved to measure the floor of the entire place every day with tiny steps. You know, you'd often see him shuffling about in circles in the hallway. The woman in pink marigold gloves with a big plastic leaf in her hair, wearing a dressing gown. She would talk to herself on the payphone. She loved to talk to anyone, everyone, or just mostly, it seemed, to herself. An angry young man who, when he thought I was going to sit in his seat at lunchtime, got really angry. He either really loved the seat in the dinner room or was very protective of his jam sponge pudding. The next day, he forgot to lock the door to the amazing shower room, and I walked in on him, having a shit. He seemed to be nicer to me after that. All black clothing guy, who looked like he just got off the train from 1940s Soviet Russia. A giant of a man, who seemed to never not be smoking. He very kindly offered me a cigarette, a tiny cigarette, in comparison to his astronaut glove-sized hands. I respectfully declined. Nighttime boy would pace around the place, mainly at night, blasting loud metal music in his headphones. You'd spot him racing around the hallways, either on his way to fetch himself a glass of water or carrying around a clear plastic cup of good stuff on the way back from his room. Then there was Eastern European woman, who seemed really tough and hard, but was so sweet and nice. She had a little podgy belly that made her alarm and he looked like she was 3 months pregnant. Quiet girl sat opposite me in the quiet room one night, dressed in a pink fluffy pyjamas while colouring in a colouring books. She didn't stay long. A few hours later, I went to the toilet. I opened the door, and it seemed like she was having a poo on the floor. Although, in her defence, I shut the door as fast as I opened it. I didn't get why Jupiter had such a slack policy on toilet door locking. The next day, at a busy dinner time, I sat alone on a table by myself, which was no coincidence. Her friend, another patient, asked if I was Muslim on Quiet Girl's behalf. I'm not, so I said no. They refused to sit next to me. I never quite understood that. No, just last night I saw her take a shit on the floor, but sitting on the same table whilst eating was not okay. Complaining, man. I only ever saw once. I was coming back from the doctor's office and I passed him by standing outside the front desk. He was complaining about not being allowed something. I came back a few moments later and he was lying down outside the office, forcing himself to be sick. He didn't seem to get his own way and I never saw him again. Finally, there was Backward Jeans guy, my new hero. Seemed so much more practical to have the two big pockets in the front. I was daydreaming in my room, thinking about the wonderful people here and about where I was and what I'd done. Laying on the bed, staring at the bright white ceiling, my mind drifting back into the room, and I had another good look around. A spacious bedroom. Then there was a massive bathroom with an unbelievably powerful shower, plus a private garden. It was beginning to look appealing. Room 11, in the Jupiter Ward, would be the ideal buy-to-let apartment in the booming London property market. The only drawback was the floor. On first glance, it seemed okay. But after spending the opening night and most of the first day walking around without shoes, my socks were completely ruined. I lay on the bed and saw the amount of dust and dirt on the bottom of my duvet. My socks were black. They were supposed to be blue. I was in my room, and the blinds quickly opened and shut. "Hello, Thomas. Can I come in?" the house behind the glass said. "If you want to," I replied. The doctor asked if I was ready to have a little chat. I decided to put my shoes on this time, and we walked through the halls into the women's wing, where even more activity rooms were located. I glanced in what felt like slow motion at an aerobics class. Two women and a man were sort of following the instructor. I entered a small room and saw my audience waiting. A room full of strangers. A doctor I'd never met, his assistant, plus two juniors. Having just yesterday told someone for the first time I tried to kill myself after months of bottling in. Now, I had to tell a crowd the hows and whys. It was horrible. My hand was covering my mouth as I spoke to catch the words I was saying. I never made any eye contact with the eight watching eyes. Having to say, the first time I tried to kill myself, to make sure they understood I did it twice. I felt so embarrassed. I felt like a 5-year-old again. At my fifth birthday party, the clown said he was going to make me disappear. The thought alone terrified me. Now, if he makes me disappear, where do I go? How will I get there? I didn't like not knowing. I didn't like standing up in front of my friends and family. It was the same feeling, hearing the doctors, this little fool's life. They pitied me. I went back to my room to feel sorry for myself. The clock ticked and the day went by. It was late in the evening and I was sitting on my own in the quiet room. On the wall was a hand-painted tree that overlooked the view of the sea with an island in the distance. Very picturesque and calming. On the tree were stuck on paper leaves with quotes on. Although there was only one quote remaining. What was left on the others was torn paper edges and blue tack marks on the branches. On the last remaining leaf was a motivational quote, vague enough to be suitable to any problem. But I was particularly vulnerable, so it got to me. My mind wandered off as I sat in the furthest, darkest corner of the quiet room. Headphones in any normal place. This would be international language for "I'd like to be left alone, please." But I wasn't in a normal place. This was Jupiter. The lady in the pink marigold gloves came in the room and sat in the opposite corner away from me. Surprisingly, she sat down and didn't spark up a conversation. But it didn't take her long. Bless her. She liked to talk. I could see her looking at me and her mouth moving, but I still had my earphones in. I took out the right ear. "Are you a trained soldier? You don't look like a trained killer." "I'm a trained footballer." "Are you retired? Did you get injured? Do you just train others now?" I couldn't help but laugh. I mean, she'd done me twice. I wish she knew how funny she was. I laughed whilst giving me big belly a pat. "I do," I said. Sadly remembering my little niece Saskia, my nephew Alfie, who loved to play footy, and how much I'd love to be playing footy with them now in their back garden. But I couldn't. Not tonight. This podcast is dedicated to the doctors and nurses and all the staff at Fazakerley Hospital.
If you are suffering distress or despair, urgent help and support is available at bbc.co.uk/actionline.